Damn right, bro. 4 a.m., I'm just getting started. For my birthday, I threw me a surprise party. Reminiscing about the trap playing the first quarter. My life changed when I had my first daughter. Got my first quarter flipping $50 slabs. Then looking at the bills, asking you for half. Cut from a different cloth, take pride in results. Anytime she wanna dip, I'm providing the sauce. You on side of the boss, so you kind of the boss. You keep playing with me, I end up signing your boss. Drop an EP on it for the free on it. Yeah, you ZZ on it, King like BB on you. Yeah.
Hour 2 of the Blitz starting right now, live here on 1340 AM, 105.7 FM, live on the Fan Run Radio app, free wherever you get your apps, live in the Fan Run Radio web browser. And if you want to watch along at home, well, hey, we're on Facebook and we're on Twitter with the video feed if you want to see our smiling faces. It's game day eve and continuing to talk Tennessee-Florida. This is a massive weekend for recruiting. It's a massive weekend for recruiting. Right now, you have a top 10 class and you're trying to keep it because you already have 21 commits signed. You know, now's the point where you really narrow down your board and you put a lot of focus into your final 2, 3, 4, 5 targets to see where you're at. But you got Nico coming to town this week. You have a ton of unofficial visits, and you have two pretty big official visits as well. Right now, in terms of official visits, you have 4-star defensive end Davin Hobbs from North Carolina and 3-star offensive lineman Vyson Lang from Alabama. Those are your only two official visits. And most of the time, you like to save your official visits for before or after the season so you can like fully devote your resources to these kids that are coming into town. But as competitive as it is right now for Davin Hobbs and Vyson Lang, you get them on campus when you can, and a pretty big opportunity. Hobbs, right now, you're in a pretty massive battle with Alabama and Georgia. He's been on campus plenty of times, and you've been gaining some traction with him lately. But right now, he's about as undecided as you can be, reportedly. His decision could come in November. So this weekend could go a long way to potentially swing that decision. With Vyson Lang, the offensive lineman, well, the Vols have been recruiting him the hardest lately. He's already been to to Auburn and LSU. Arkansas is maybe perceived as the favorite, but this weekend could definitely go a long way. And for Tennessee, this kind of feels too like one of your first crossroad moments for Heupel in terms of his national standing and his standing on the recruiting trail as well. In the sense that, well, A, most of the time when you see a coach that really does break through and elevate a program and is really successful, you really start to see them break through in year two. You know, there's a trend that over and over and over again shows that the guys that are going to get it done, it doesn't take them to year three, regardless of the roster they inherited. Year two is the year that they break through. So I think that A, is one of the crossroads that you're at here. I mean, obviously, beating Florida does not count as a breakthrough, but losing to Florida, I think, is an identifier that you're not there yet either. You know, I think that that's kind of where this game is at right now. Because you lose to Florida, and you basically it feels like, hey, I guess you got to wait another year to be on the big stage. You know, you got to wait another year to consider yourself up there maybe with the big boys where you're competing for a New Year's Six Bowl. If you win this game, you're very much in the New Year's Six Bowl conversation the rest of the year, and I think you still have the opportunity to prove yourself as having arrived now with that next tier of college football. But you lose, and that opportunity's gone. So I think that's what this game is. It sets the stage to continue to be awarded that opportunity as you move forward in this season. But from a recruiting perspective, it seems like many times lately, you know, I know we know Butch Jones signed some top 10 classes, but lately – you've been in these recruiting battles for the top prospects. You've gotten them on campus. You've sold them on your vision, but your product on the field just hasn't been quite good enough. You've still lost your games to Florida's and, you know, to your other ranked SEC opponents, and you've finished third or fourth for these guys. So I think that this weekend is a huge, 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 massive prove-it moment in recruiting to show that you were on the field, direction matches what you've been preaching.
Yeah. You know, I wonder what goes through the minds of recruits when they come in for these visits. You know, do they have concern whether the team that, you know, whether the team wins or not? I don't even know. Like, obviously it might help to be like, all right, this team is on the rise, of course. But also I do say, like, some people do see opportunity when a team loses. Like, I know that's weird to say, but you do feel like, you know, you can come in and be like, I can rewrite this script in a way. So I don't know how much, like, even the team winning the game even matters. I feel like the atmosphere, the potential.
To me, oh, sorry, continue.
No, you. What were you saying?
I was going to say, like, to me, and not winning matters less last year in terms of bringing guys
sure.
in because you're more so selling on, you're selling people on the buy-in, you're okay. selling people on the scheme, you're selling people on, you can come in and here's some holes that you just obviously witnessed, you yeah. can help fix those. But now year two, you got to start selling
progress.
People on, hey, we've made progress and we're starting
well,
to
I
win
think
games
that's already
like
visible,
because,
though.
Like, yeah, but I think you need to take it to the next step to, you know, turn finishing third with these guys into finishing first and to make that statement, that prove it moment. That's
yeah.
why I think it's a crossroads. I don't think, again, if you lose this game.
Like, it's not the end of the world if you lose this game. You don't want to.
I think it's if you lose this game, like, it's not the end of the world, but I think it also it sets you back.
Yeah,
like it puts you
course.
In a spot
it's
where
different than if you were
again.
To win.
Okay, it turns out we're not as far along as we thought we were, and now we got to reset expectations.
Mm.
And I don't think you know it, that. I mean, that's hard to recover from.
Yeah, no, I get that.
You have so much momentum right now.
I just feel like with how big, I mean, the stadium is going to be, and how much intensity there's going to be on the field, and the checkerboard, and then just everything. 3:30, it's going to be a sunset, it's going to look really pretty, the weather's going to be great. It's just hard not to make an amazing impression with that, and I feel like that's going to be the thing that sticks with these people hopefully
yeah, I mean,
the most.
That gets you on campus.
Yeah,
you know, that gets you. That gets your hat on the table.
Yeah.
Nico Iamaliava gets your hat on the table, but to get that hat on the head, like, you have to prove it. I mean, these are 18-year-old kids, 17-year-old kids even, 16-year-old
yeah.
kids in some cases, because this is an even bigger weekend for 2024, 2025. Which, great to have Nico on campus this weekend to basically do the job of the staff that the staff won't be able to do because they'll be busy
yeah.
coaching a football game. He can basically be that guy with them, you know, pregame, during the game. Great to have. But, you know, all the 2024 and 2025 kids that are on campus too, I mean, if you're 16 or 17, you've maybe seen Tennessee beat Florida once. If you're 18... you've seen it twice, but still you only remember one. Like, you can sell someone on tradition in 1998 and remember what Nealon used to be like and everything else, but eventually, like, you have to make a new impression for a new generation. Like, you have to start winning games like this. And Florida is a game that if you want to put in a top 10 class this year, if you want to start moving towards getting into top 5 classes in the next couple years, which you have to do if you want to catch Alabama and Georgia – you got to win games like this in year two, and by year three, year four, you got to maybe take down a team that you shouldn't.
Yeah,
that you're
no,
not
I agree.
Supposed
yeah.
to.
I agree.
So, like, you got to win this weekend. In terms of 2024 guys, Edwin Spielman, Caleb Beasley, a couple in-state 4-stars, they'll be here. Ryan Wingo, a 5-star, he'll be here as well. He also got to see Tennessee at Pitt. He took a visit to Pitt for that weekend. Hayden Echols, your 5-star athlete commit, he'll be in town. Mario Craver, a bunch of other 4-stars, and again, just so many unofficial visits. But this weekend, you know, this is a coaching staff that wants to have a top 5 class, that thinks that they can have a top 5 recruiting class, and you know, they have the aspirations to do it as soon as like next year. The first step in doing that is well, this weekend, again, like winning games like this, because you have this weekend is bigger for 2024. Than it is 2023 or 2025. You're going to have some 2025 guys, but you have just all an abundance of 4- and 5-star talent from 2024 in to see this game. And, you know, if you can have the atmosphere that we're all expecting, if you can beat Florida, and if you can have your 5-star quarterback, Nico Iamaliava, there to help recruit them as well, that can be a – I mean, you can look back on this weekend in a year when Tennessee has, you know, 22 commits – again, for the 2024 class, and you can point to this weekend as one of the most pivotal weekends of all to help put that 2024 class together. So I just think that, you know, this weekend, it's finally time. It's time to start backing it up. You know, Pruitt didn't. Butch kind of sort of did once. Dooley didn't. Like, Kiffin didn't. You got to back it up. If you want to take that next step in recruiting, if you want to go from top 15 to top 10 to top 5, you got to start backing it up.
I'll tell you what, though. What a job these coaches do. Like, how hard is it to, one,
awful,
focus on this really important game in the present, but also, like, also having to prepare for the future? Like, that has got to be so hard.
No, there's actually, like, a coaching shortage right now because, like, there are so many assistants that are dropping out, especially at lower-level college football. It's got to be the most exhausting job in sports right now,
yeah,
to coach at any collegiate level. You're constantly recruiting high school kids 24/7. You are constantly recruiting your own roster to not leave via the transfer portal 24/7. You are constantly recruiting other teams' rosters for the transfer portal 24/7. And oh, yeah, you also have to coach a football team.
Mm.
It's impossible. Sam, what were you about to say?
Yeah, I just think it's you know, it's hard not to look too far ahead, but like you're saying, a weekend like this in recruiting and such an important game, like, putting on that atmosphere is, you know, that's a given. Like, Checker Nealon, the place is going to be buzzing. It's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. But I think winning those games is a massive factor in getting those guys on campus and getting them committed and stuff like that. Because, you know, when you're battling someone out with Alabama and Georgia and, you know, you're not beating Florida, it's just, you know, like, those kids can go to Alabama and win those games and become a pro. And, you know, you're trying to sell that here. And so I think that as important as it is to win this game for our season this year, like, it is extremely important for the kids coming onto our campus in the future and just kind of having that momentum, winning a rivalry game and coming in and having a chance against these big name opponents. Like, I think this is a massive weekend, not only for the season this year, but just recruiting in the future and guys that we can get on our campus and get on our football team in the future.
I mean, like I was saying, you know, Checker Nealon, gray uniforms, 3:30 CBS, College Game Day, 102.455, or I guess that's shrunk now to 101 something. But, you know, all those different things, the noise, the quotes that'll certainly come out from the opposition about, oh, it was really loud. Those are all great. Those are fantastic things. We love those. And that'll get your hat on a table. But if you want your hat to be picked up off that table and put on a head, you have to win when you have these moments. And Tennessee, outside of 2016 against Florida, we've had so many build-ups like we've had this week that have ultimately fallen short once you get to Saturday. But I think this week's going to be different, and I think we'll see it have a massive impact in recruiting, specifically when it comes to that 2024 class. But we'll keep things rolling on the other side. Stay with us here on The Blitz. You're back here on The Blitz. So ready. Just watched John Reed's video during the break. Highly recommend it. I don't know. We might have all just watched it too early in the day, because now I'm almost a little too jacked up to still wait. What is it? 27 and a half more hours, roughly. 27 hours, 10 minutes, I think. Don't want to wait any longer. But yeah, I mean, John Reed with another banger. What's new? Gotten a couple first row seats to those videos. They're always funny to, like, watch and make too, but always funny.
How many takes do you think you did this morning?
One take all the time.
Yeah,
always. It's John Reed. He never needs more than one take.
Is it right off the dome too?
He does not read anything. I mean,
unreal.
I'm sure he's imagining some lines in his head, but yeah, it's all off the dome. It's magical to watch. It really is
unreal.
But just a little short segment here before we get into confidence picks. Cedric Tillman, Sam, you're dead to me, by the way. I just saw your dog of the week. Just complete sidebar, you're dead to me. That was going to be mine. I didn't type it in fast enough. But anyway.
We can have the same dog of the week.
You can't.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Nope.
Mm. I was like, I got to type this in. And then I forgot, too. I was like, before someone beats me to it, you beat me to it.
Hungry dogs run faster.
Anyway, Cedric Tillman, I think I kind of felt like he was going to play. But now the closer we get to this game, the more I'm a little bit worried that he's not going to. I think that there's suspicion that he won't, or if he does, it'll be limited. It won't be 100%. Who do you guys think can and slash will step up in Cedric Tillman's absence? Like, you know, Callaway obviously going to be suspended for that first half, and you'll have still Brew McCoy and Jalen Hyatt, but from there, you know, is it Walker Merrill? Is it Squirrel White? Is it Ramel Keaton? Is it somebody else?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I think it would probably be a mix of them. I was really impressed with Ramel Keaton, obviously on the receiving end of that the bomb from Joe Milton last week. I think he does have the capability to step up there. It just depends on I guess, do you want to put someone who closely resembles what Cedric can do? And I feel like that could be Ramel Keaton out of those three we mentioned. Squirrel White obviously possesses speed, but I don't see him, you know, we just haven't seen him be kind of like a deep threat possession receiver. He's going to catch it, you know, right in the flats and try to make something happen with his feet. Walker Merrill, though, I feel like does provide a lot of skills as well. So I feel like we see a healthy dose of all three, but I don't know if there's necessarily one that provides kind of that what Cedric does. It could be a whole unit come together in this instant if Cedric's not able to play.
Now, I mean, I do think that whatever you do, you need to keep Jalen Hyatt and you know, Brew McCoy in similar positions that they have been, because I think that, you know, that's where they're more comfortable, specifically Jalen Hyatt. But I kind of lean Ramel Keaton a little bit. You know, I think it's important, yeah, if you're replacing Cedric Tillman, to put someone in that you trust, and I think Ramel Keaton's maybe the one that you can trust the most to execute, to understand, you know, alignment, to understand responsibility, because, you know, a lot of it is, it's obviously at a very fast tempo, but a lot of it is just processing quickly too and reading the defense to know what your specific job is based on alignment. You know, you have to be able to go through certain checkpoints, certain keys of the line of scrimmage to make sure you're in the right spot. You don't want to put someone in there that is maybe a little bit more explosive but could do the wrong thing that could cost you a turnover. To me, like Ramel Keaton, first of all, I think he's more talented than we've really seen from him. You know, I just don't know if he's ever really put it fully together. But, like, we've seen flashes. He had that one catch over the middle against Ball State that was really nice. And, I mean, he went up and mossed somebody on a little end zone fade. Unfortunately, he came down out of bounds. But, like, I think that shows that he can be a playmaker if you need him to be. But, like, I trust him to block. I trust him to be in the right place, to run the right route. More so than maybe I do, like a Squirrel White.
Yeah, I mean, he's more of a veteran.
Right,
he's been around the team.
Like when you're gonna go, you know, when you're gonna throw that quick little bubble screen because Florida put one too many in the box, or because that nickel safety's creeping closer to the line of scrimmage, and you know you're gonna have someone blocking for Jalen Hyatt to run off their ass. I want that person to be Ramel Keaton more than I want it to be, you know, any of your other options. Sam, who do you think steps up? Or maybe is it a combination of multiple people?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of multiple people. I think if you don't have a fully healthy Cedric Tillman, it's obviously going to be more of a kind of a strength in numbers type of thing. I think you're going to obviously lean heavily on Brew McCoy and Jalen Hyatt there. But I would look towards Ramel Keaton and Walker Merrill mainly. And, you know, I think probably one of those freshmen after those two guys that I just mentioned, whether it be Squirrel White, Caleb Webb, you know, whoever it may be. But I think it's just more of a, you're just going to have to spread it out a little bit more. Obviously, you know, Cedric gets targeted a bunch in this offense. I think it's just going to have to be finding ways to get our different receivers a lot more looks, because, you know, Cedric is our number one guy, but I think that, you know, we can be just fine with Jalen Hyatt and Brew McCoy on the outside, just spreading out a little bit more. So, you know, I'm not exactly worried still if Tillman is out, but I think we can still do it without him. But, you know, it's obviously great if he's in there. I'm not super, super worried if he's limited for this game. I think that, you know, our guys are going to step up and they're going to have a big game in his absence.
Yeah, what an opportunity it is for some of these guys if Cedric isn't able to go. Like, this is, up to this point, the biggest game of the year,
yeah.
And you have a chance to one, you know, not just make an impact on your team winning, but also submit yourself as like, because I mean, for the last 2 weeks, it's kind of been, aside from like obviously just like first team offense in that Pittsburgh game, it was mainly Jalen Hyatt, Brew McCoy, and Cedric Tillman. There wasn't much action outside of those three in that Pittsburgh game. So you have a chance to kind of submit yourself that, hey, in an everyday game that's not going to be like a blowout Akron win, you deserve to be in there and getting targets and gaining trust from Hendon Hooker and being in more of an active role. So we just really just saw the trio against Pittsburgh. They have a good opportunity to step up in this scenario.
Certainly will be interesting to see who steps up, but we'll go ahead and just catch a break early here, save plenty of time for confidence picks on the other side. Don't want to miss it. Stay with us here on the Blitz.
Hey guys, if ED has got you down, our friends at National RX are ready to give you a lift with a great deal on Sildenafil. National RX is now offering Sildenafil at the unheard of price of just 50 cents a tablet. It's easy. All you have to do is tell them you heard about it on the drive. Just talk to your doctor and have the prescription filled at National RX in Farragut. Call 865-392-1770 to find out more or just visit them online at nationalrx.com. Hey, Big Orange Country. There's a new sports bar in town where you can go to get your eat, drink, and game on. Big Orange Phillies, 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. Big Orange Phillies is the good time you've been looking for. Great food, cold drinks, and fun games. Big Orange Phillies is the place to be this football season to watch the Vols and all the other big college games. Check out their menu online at BigOrangePhillies.com, and you can also get it delivered via Grubhub. Crown Cleaners, providing Imperial service for all your dry cleaning needs since the 1960s. Don't risk your clothes. Go to the pros. Get those dirty suits, slacks, and shirts cleaned professionally at either Crown Cleaners location, 6300 Kingston Pike on Bearden Hill and 9409 South North Shore Drive. And as always, you can schedule convenient pickup and delivery online at crowncleaners.com.
Man, a house in Rosewood, it two plush. Say my day's a number, but I keep waking up. No, you see my text, baby, please say something.
By the glass. Back here on the Blitz, we get you ready for confidence picks. Confidence picks this week. I am in the yearly lead with 146 points. I've won three out of the first 4 weeks. Andy was last week's winner with 20. I finished with 19. Sam with 14. It was a bad week for the boys last week. Sam had to do the gallon challenge. Can't wait to spin a punishment wheel on Monday. We still haven't gotten a no punishment sliver yet. There's still four of those left on the wheel. I feel like one of those is due. Kind of feels like it.
Would be nice.
How boring, though, would it be if we got to, like, the last 4 weeks and those are just all, the only four left? I'd almost
That's
be.
How it goes.
I'd be mad. But the wheel's just. The wheel won't do it to us. That being said, though, starting things off in Jerry World, Arkansas and A&M. Arkansas looked pretty rough last week against Bobby Petrino in Missouri State, A&M. Got things back on track with a win against ranked Miami, ranked at the time, Miami. So, Sam, what you got?
I'm going with Arkansas here for four. Arkansas did not look great last week, but I don't think A&M necessarily looked good against Miami either. I thought Miami just looked kind of bad. So, this is always a good game. I'm going to go Arkansas for four.
Yeah, I really struggled with this one because I picked Miami against Texas A&M, and they surprised me, obviously, by getting the win. And Arkansas did look weird. I've been really big on Arkansas, and I really like Arkansas. But I don't know. It's a neutral site game here. Texas A&M might have their mojo back after beating Miami. They, you know, even though they didn't look great, you know, to what they could look, it still was a top 25 win. Arkansas coming off a really weird game. I don't know. It just feels like maybe if this were the first game for Arkansas to slip up, this would be the one. I know it's a neutral site game in Arlington, but it's closer for College Station fans. But I'm sure they'll be, you know, well represented both sides. I don't know. I got the feeling that maybe Texas A&M, they make another statement this week. They get a win back over Arkansas, but I'm not very confident. I think it'll probably be a close game. I've got Texas A&M for three.
Yeah, that Arkansas defense is disappointed, but I still have a lot of faith in that Arkansas team. like KJ Jefferson. I love that they moved Trey Knox to tight end. They basically still use him as a receiver anyway. Their run game is good. That defense, I think we'll figure things out. You know, last week, I think part of it was Bobby Petrino coming to town. I think part of it was looking ahead to Texas A&M. But that pass defense, the worst aspect of this Arkansas team, and that's probably the area that A&M is the least well-equipped to attack. I got Arkansas for 5. Next up, Oregon and Washington State. Oregon coming off a very emotional home victory over BYU.
Yeah, big win last week against BYU. Impressive win. I did not think that Oregon was going to beat BYU there. So I'm going to be riding with the Ducks this week. I'm not too confident in them. I think that's going to be a really good game at Washington State. Interesting quarterback battle with Cam Ward and Bo Nix. I'm going to go Oregon for 3 here.
Yeah, I think another really close game. Maybe Washington State, I feel like, should be a bit disrespected that, you know, Oregon is ranked 15th and they're not ranked right now. You know, a big win against Wisconsin early in the season. You know, still not getting too many votes for the top 25. And, you know, it's a home game against an Oregon team that I feel like a lot of people are still scratching their heads about. A terrible performance against Georgia. Obviously, Georgia, the best team in the nation at the start of the year. So it could be that way for a lot of teams when you face the Bulldogs. But then a huge win against BYU, that surprised a lot of people, including us. So it's just like a team that you don't really know what to think about. But I feel like if there were a really good upset candidate on this list, I feel like Washington State at home has a good chance to make their statement as well. I think they do beat Oregon. It's going to be close, and I'm not confident because it is an upset pick here, so they're my lowest in terms of confidence.
I'll tell you this right now. Washington State is a better team than Oregon. And what Jake Dickert last year did as the interim head coach at Washington State was unnoticed, but one of the more impressive things in the country. He took over for Nick Rolovich after all the controversy there. Completely changed the way his team plays schematically. Went 3-3 to close the season and beat the absolute mess out of Washington to end the year. And that defense, number 2 in the Power 5 last year in terms of forced turnovers, and that's what they do. They're all about takeaways. They get in that complex 4-2-5. They fool other teams. And Bo Nix, what we know about him is that he's easy to trick. Easy to trick. I think Bo Nix throws 3 picks. I think Washington State's defense just suffocates Oregon, and I think Cam Ward has a coming out party. Washington State should be a ranked team. That win over Wisconsin was incredibly impressive, and I think that they're a team that's eventually going to earn the respect that they deserve. I have them for 1. Clemson at Wake Forest, battle of 2 undefeateds. Clemson went to the ACC championship game a year ago. I mean, Wake Forest did, but they still did lose to Clemson last year. Back at home, they barely got past Liberty a week ago. What do you got?
Yeah, Wake Forest has got Sam Hartman back, but they haven't beat Clemson since 2008. I don't see that changing this year either. I'm going to go Clemson for my 10.
Nice. Yeah, Dabo Swinney is 13-0 against Wake Forest. So there's no reasoning that I see Wake Forest this being their year to beat them. Clemson hasn't looked amazing. They've been really slow in a lot of games. I didn't really think they looked good against Georgia Tech. But also I don't know if like Wake Forest has also shown me that special ability to upset a team yet, or to, you know, create waves at this point. They're undefeated, but it hasn't looked pretty at times either for them. So I'm going to go Clemson. I'm pretty confident. I also have them at 9.
Also have them at 9. I have Clemson at 7 just because I do think Wake Forest is, you know, a fun offense at the very least with the claw offense. And I think Clemson's vulnerable. I don't think Clemson's actually that great. But like you said, I think that Wake Forest does just have that mental hurdle with Clemson, and ultimately that defense can make enough plays. Wake Forest still just struggles to defend. I got Clemson for 7. I don't know. I feel like 7 might be a little too high, but at least y'all are both higher. Duke, Kansas, a sellout. This game completely sold out. 2 3-0 teams. I had to put it on there.
I know.
We got to rank Kansas. We could have a situation where if Kansas beats Duke and then Iowa State, they could be undefeated, hosting like an undefeated Oklahoma. And then they better get game day for that. Like, actually, yeah. No joke, no meme, because that would be so fun. But I love that Kansas is good at football this year. And Duke has been kind of sneaky, too, with Riley Leonard. Not a bad quarterback at all. Sam, what you got?
Yeah, this is a really interesting basketball game here this weekend. I'm going to go Kansas for 9. I think this is a very interesting game, though. Like, two teams that are normally in the gutter of college football and are somehow kind of pulling it together with some new coaches here. Seems like they got the right guy in Lance Leopold over at Kansas. Mike Elko's doing pretty well at Duke to start off. It's going to be a good game. I'm going to go Kansas for 9.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in Kansas. I have them for 8. I think their offense has been really good. I don't know if Duke has the capability to slow that down. And with all the buzz, yeah, it just doesn't seem like a game that Kansas loses.
Does not lose anymore. The days of Kansas losing
are done. They're never losing
Kansas
again.
Kansas will never lose another football game as long as Lance Leopold and Jalen Daniels are there. I got Kansas for 10. Moving over to the NFL slate, Chiefs at Colts. Chiefs have played two interesting games. They get a little mini bye before heading to Indianapolis. Colts desperately need a win. Do they get it this week, Sam?
Yeah, it almost seems a little too good to be true to pick the Chiefs here. But if we were taking spreads, I'd probably take the Colts, but we're not. So I'm going to take the Chiefs for my 7 here. The Colts, they just haven't sold me yet on what they're doing so far early in the year. And the Chiefs look really, 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 really good. So I'm going to take the Chiefs for 7 on the road here.
Yeah, the Colts have to do something differently and they have to figure something out soon. Against the Chiefs is never a good recipe to try to figure that out. I just don't think they're going to be able to slow down, obviously, Pat Mahomes. I got Chiefs for 7.
I kind of feel like the Colts win this game for no real reason other than it just feels like a game the Colts just grind out. And you see, like, Shaquille Leonard have, like, 13 tackles and, like, get really emotional post-game with some, like, speech of, yeah, that's where it starts. We got to keep fighting. Like,
just to get
like
the
that.
National media back on the Colts bandwagon.
Oh, we got to watch the Colts. Look what they did against the Chiefs. They figure something out. Matt Ryan settling in. And we just ignore what they did against the Texans and Jags. With that being said, though, I'm still going to pick the Chiefs for 9. Bills-Dolphins. The Dolphins have actually been explosive offensively. We know what the Bills are. Can the Dolphins' offense do enough? They are hosting the Bills. The Bills have to go on the road on a short week.
Yeah, this is probably the NFL game I'm most excited to watch this weekend. Going to be interesting. At Miami early in the season is always an interesting one. A little hot down there in South Beach. I'm still going to take the Bills. They look unstoppable, man. I'm taking the Bills for 8.
Man, this is a really fun game. I really like the Dolphins after what I've seen from them in 2 weeks. I'm actually very excited about the Dolphins. Can they keep it up? That's still left to be determined. Really fun comeback last week, but they can't play like that for 3 quarters and expect to be able to do that against the Bills. The Bills are the best team in football. I've got Buffalo, but I do think it'll be a fun game, and I am really scared of the Dolphins, so I have Bills for 6.
Yeah, I think the Dolphins have just played some teams that didn't defend them very well. Like, I think the Ravens...
Well, their defense has done really well, too, though,
they've done pretty well at times. They also let Lamar Jackson torch them with no real weapons.
I think he's going to do that. Oh, Rashad Bateman is good.
Rashad Bateman is good. Mark Andrews is good, but, like, Devin Duvernay is getting loose on him. Like,
well, that was a special teams miscue.
He also had a touchdown catch, didn't he?
No, he returned a kick, the opening kick.
But he had, like, one long catch, too, right?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that was Rashad Bateman.
Oh, okay. Devin Duvernay got loose week one. Either way, I don't think the Ravens' defense is very good. I think that it's just, Tua tried to mess up a couple of those deep balls to Tyreek. Like, he still underthrew them. It's just the Ravens' defense was so far behind, they still didn't catch up to break up the pass. I'm not sold on the Dolphins in the slightest. They also have been owned by the Buffalo Bills as of late. I think the Bills go into Miami, absolutely dominate the Dolphins. I think Tua throws like 3 picks and everyone starts immediately questioning Miami and Tua again. And Tua non has themselves a rough week.
I don't know. I like the Dolphins this year. I do. I think they're going to the playoffs. I really have them as a playoff team already.
All right. Well, next up, Packers at Bucks.
This another really good game. Some good ones in the NFL slate this week. Man, this is tough. I'm going the Packers for one here. I don't know. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to get it going here on the road. This kind of feels like that early season road win for the Packers that kind of gets the ball rolling for the whole season and them up in Green Bay. I think the Packers pull this one out.
Man, I mean, this should be on paper a great matchup, but nothing excites me about either offense. No. Both offenses have been super stale. I mean, you have two legendary quarterbacks for this last decade, and you know the Bucs have dealt with so many injuries at receiver. They've picked up Cole Beasley this week. Mike Evans is suspended for this game. The Packers, though, I mean, Rodgers not in sync with any of his receivers. Alan Lazard is back, caught a touchdown, great. I'm still not pleased with him being the receiver one. I mean, the Bucs defense has been unbelievable. I have no reason to think that Rodgers is going to be successful against them on Sunday, but it is Aaron Rodgers and it is the Packers, and they're still a good team. I have Tampa Bay winning this game, but at a two confidence level.
I like the Packers here. I think that there were significant strides made between Rodgers and his receivers from week one to week two.
Well,
and
it was the Bears, though.
They're not at a place where they need to be nearly, but I think they're getting closer, and I think that'll continue to grow this weekend. And I'm not all that huge on the Bucs. I think that their defense is playing some really good football right now, but that offense, clearly there's something
wrong. Yeah, no, I'm not either.
Offense is a mess. I think this is the year that the Bucs kind of start to...
The defense, though, is unreal.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is the beginning to the end. That might be a little premature now, the way the defense is playing. I'm a little bit worried about
defense
that prediction.
Defense can get them to the playoffs.
But I like the Packers here. I think that the Packers get the Bucs. It's not the playoffs, so Aaron Rodgers can actually win this big game. I have them for 2 points. And then Sunday Night Football, 49ers, Broncos.
I am going to go with the Niners for two here. I think that Niners team kind of rallies around Jimmy G a little bit this week. And that Broncos team hasn't looked super impressive with Russ over there just yet. Still kind of getting it going with a new system. I'm going to go Niners for two.
Yeah, I feel like this is a close game. I wouldn't be confident with any team I picked in this scenario because I think it is going to be really close. I think everyone is quick to be like, all right, Jimmy G, Niners are ready to go now. They're good. Ready to go. I mean, it was the Seahawks. Like, I'm not convinced yet that Jimmy G is going to make this offense be explosive just yet. I know they made it to the NFC Championship game last year, but I'm not ready to say that, you know, they're going to be just fine with Jimmy G. And the Broncos, they have been miserable. I've been so critical of their play calling and Nathaniel Hackett and that start, and they've got to get it figured out at some point. Hopefully this week they look a lot cleaner. They use their weapons a little bit better because they have the weapons to beat the 49ers, I think. And I'm going to go Broncos, but for just four.
I like the 49ers. I think the Broncos offense is in trouble. I think that Nathaniel Hackett's in trouble. I think he's already in over his head. I think that offense is going to continue to press and put pressure on themselves. And I think the 49ers are a team that's well coached and ready, you know, to take advantage of a Broncos team that's the opposite. I like the 49ers a lot. I like Jimmy G a lot. I think that offense really gets back to clicking this week. I think Debo gets more involved. I got the 49ers for three. And then to wrap up the NFL slate, two 0-2 teams that had high expectations this year that both made the playoffs a year ago that desperately, desperately, desperately got to get off the schneid. Titans on a short week, but they're at home hosting the Raiders, who just choked against the Cardinals. Sam, did the Titans get back on track?
Man, we better. We better get back on track. I'm not even taking this confidence pick because I think the Titans will win. I'm taking this because we have to win. I'm taking the Titans for five. It's a must-win game for us. I'm going to say it's a must-win.
Yeah, I'm not excited about this game. The Titans have to win. The Raiders have to win. It's going to be really interesting because the both are probably going to be feeling that pressure being 0-2. I'm giving the Titans the edge, but I hate it. I think I got them at a five confidence just because I just really don't know what to think about this matchup. I feel like maybe the Titans feel the urgency a little bit more than the Raiders at this point because maybe they can see the light at the top of their division a little bit more. I'm going to give it to the Titans, but I'm not confident at all with either team's ability. I just don't know. We just haven't seen them play a successful game yet and pull out a ball game.
I'm in the same boat as Sam. I'm picking the Titans because they better win this game. They better win this game. I can't imagine a scenario where they don't, like where things fall to 0-3 and where this season collapses. That doesn't seem like a realistic possibility to me. So that means they got to win this game. Titans for 4. And we'll pick Tennessee on the other side as well as our best bets for the weekend. Stay with us here on the Blitz. Oh, actually, Sam, don't send us to break. It's dog of the week. Who's your dog of the week, Sam?
My dog.
Be mine, because they're going to win this game, and you're going to win 13 points.
Yep, my dog of the week is going to be Kansas State playing Oklahoma. Deuce Vaughn, man. I think he's going to have a big game for him.
Yeah, I know they just lost to Tulane in what was probably the most disappointing performance from the entire weekend. I was really, really, really mad at Kansas State.
Bounce back.
But I think they bounce back.
Bounce back.
Yeah,
big bounce
I think
back.
They do win that game.
Dog. Andy. My dog of the week.
I'm going to go 3-0 Maryland over 3-0 Michigan.
M-A-R-Y-L-A-N-D, Maryland.
The other.
That's me.
Talia Tungavailoa.
My dad went to Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then
big
that's
Maryland guy.
Can't stand Maryland.
Tell him that we need a big win this week because they're going to beat Michigan at the Big House, upset.
They're 17-point dogs?
Sure are.
Wow.
Going
wow.
for the big points.
I mean, that would, I think, guarantee you a win.
Yeah, that would be a yep. hell of an upset.
Yep. I would love if, like, somehow you got them but still lost.
That would be, yeah, no, I would deserve the punishment of that.
Yeah, that would yeah. actually be, like, extremely impressive.
I think it's actually impossible
you,
based on the similarity of our picks.
But it is. 17-point dog.
And well, if y'all got all of your picks right, then maybe it would be, like, if everyone's dog won. Still, though.
My dog, not a very risky one because I had to pivot since Sam beat me to it. I got Miami of Ohio plus 7.5. They're on the road at Northwestern. They've played a tough schedule. But, like, Miami of Ohio has played a tough schedule. They're battle-tested. They've been in games against a better competition. Northwestern lost to Southern Illinois, like an FCS team recently, and like, kind of got, like, pushed around, bullied by an FCS team. I think the Miami, like, should win this game outright. Not a huge opportunity for points, but plus 7.5. Hey, I'll take a free 8. Sam, send us a break.
Life is more fun with a Good Life Plus Perks checking account. Enjoy the sights and sounds of Colonial Williamsburg. Travel with us to the San Antonio Riverwalk or pack your bags for captivating Cape Cod, Nantucket, and Newport, Rhode Island. We're always on the go. Call 865-429-7935.
Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good.
Member FDIC.
Hey, Bo Kregner here at the Kregner Group. You know, in this ever-changing real estate market, buying and selling a home can be quite stressful. Here at the Kregner Group, our goal is to eliminate that stress and help you reach your desired real estate outcome as quickly and easily as possible. Call me today for a free consultation at 865-742-1035 or visit our new website, teamkgrealestate.com, and let us show you real estate the right way.
Matlock Tire, East Tennessee's number one tire service and auto repair shop since 1953. Matlock means auto service you can trust. At Matlock, they don't just do tires, they also do oil changes, brake repair, wheel alignments, and more.
We're really up against it, so I'll trim it down from 3 best bets today to 1 best bet, and then I'm going to need your Tennessee pick and your score prediction for the Vols on the way out. So Sam, best bet and your Tennessee prediction.
Okay.
/ confidence pick.
I was prepared for 3 best bets, so let me find my best one here.
The best of the best.
Yeah,
the best
of the best. Let's go with Ole Miss minus 21.5 against Tulsa. And I'm going to throw in Arkansas plus 2 there. I'm going to give you 2 best bets. My score prediction for Tennessee Florida, I'm going to go 38 to 24, Tennessee.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Mm. What was your confidence
close
pick?
To mine?
Point.
And my confidence pick is Tennessee at a 6. I'm much more confident than a 6, I think. But if I put it into like the 8 or 9 range, I think that's bad juju. I'm just going to leave it at a 6.
Andy?
Best bet, Panthers plus 2.5 facing off at home against the Saints.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers getting the win column, I think, until Jameis starts feeling better. I think he's still a little bit battered. We go Panthers in that one. Tennessee score prediction. I also have Tennessee 38, Florida 29. Don't ask me how they got there. They're there. Or no. 37-29 is my prediction. I don't know how you get there, but that's the prediction. 37-29 with the confidence of Tennessee in a total 10. Utmost confidence completely across the board, 10.
I'll tell you first, my best bet's Kansas minus 7. They're going to win that game by 70.
Mm.
Not actually, but they're going to win that game by a lot. I mean, they've beaten every team they've played by more than 7, and like Duke is probably the third best team they've played. Game day, sold-out crowd, yeah. Yeah, they're going to cover more than just the minus 7. But as for Tennessee, I got Tennessee for 6, but I'm telling you, this weekend, get ready. I mean, get ready truly to arrive on the national stage, to make a statement, to exercise some demons, to put your foot on the throat of the Florida Gators and press down until there's no more life in those eyes. To slaughter the Florida Gators. You are the better football team. The matchups are in your favor. You have the better football coach. You have the best atmosphere in the planet. On the planet, it will be the best atmosphere on the planet, tomorrow at 3:30. And Tennessee, man, they're going to put on a show. And it is going to be fun, and we are going to enjoy every second of it. Tennessee 42, Florida 21, and Anthony Richardson, more interceptions than touchdowns. Sam, give me some Rocky Top on the way out. Talk Sports, they're up next. We'll see y'all on what will surely be a Victory Monday.